I'm going to try to preach this. I do want to talk about Saul today and finish up with what we're talking about. And I'm going to touch on this. So if you got your scriptures while you're still standing, your Bibles, I'm going to invite you over to 1 Samuel 15. Those of you that are at home, grab your Bibles. If you got them handy, go over to 1 Samuel 15. We've been talking about building blocks for spiritual success. Basically, this is January. We're wanting to build in a way that we're going to last, and we're gonna make it. God wants us to make it through the year. He wants us to build off what God did in our lives. So we're looking at Saul, and today I want to compare David and Saul together a little bit. Saul is the first king of Israel, and he's actually an example of what not to do. King David came right after him and showed us how to do it. And so we've been taking some lessons from Saul, some building blocks that he just failed to build on. He didn't build on them. And last week I gave you consistency and accountability. He just didn't have those two and he blew it. But God gave him another chance. How many know God gives us other chances? Especially in the New Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus came with grace and truth. And so, you know, God is a merciful God and he gives us chances. And so maybe you've blown it already in your life. And I know I have many times, I've had many opportunities to turn my life around. And I failed miserably every single time for most of my life, for many years of my life, as a dad, as a husband, as a provider, I just failed. My flesh was running the show, my feelings, and I made some bad decisions in my life, but thanks be to God. I said, thanks be to God for his grace and his mercy for giving me another chance. And I finally got it right by looking in the Word of God. I'm not perfect. I still got a long way to go, but these foundational truths are real simple, and sometimes we make it so complicated, and I'm going to make it simple by just giving you these four building blocks, man, for the rest of your life. Write them down. And maybe God's speaking to you specifically about one of these truths. Listen, we all got weaknesses. And listen to me. And you may not master all your weaknesses. You need to learn to master the ones that are holding you back. That's what you take out of this series. Whatever it is that's holding you back. You're not going to be master over all of them. But whatever it is that's holding you back, maybe it's consistency. That's the word God has for you this year. Accountability. Or maybe these other two that I'm going to give you today. I'll give them to you right now. I'm going to put them both together. It's humility and obedience. That's what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes. It's humility and obedience. And now last week was a little bit more of a leadership type tone, which this week is as well, but this is more of a spiritual leadership. This is humility and obedience, which you're going to need it in the secular world too. And Saul failed miserably at these four. He wouldn't do it. He just did his own thing. And you're really going to see the lack of humility and pride in his life and disobedience, how it took him down. But God gives him another chance. Look at chapter 15. I'm going to skip around. There's a lot going on here, and I don't have time to read all of the story. Look at chapter 15, verse 1. This is after God told him, you know, he offered up the sacrifice and he's supposed to have waited for Samuel. And Samuel said, God's going to take the kingdom from you. You done messed up. Well, God gives him a second chance. Chapter 15, verse 1, Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord has sent me to anoint you king over his people. Look at that. It's another chance. I'm going to anoint you king over his people. Now, everybody say now. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. He says, please listen, Saul. Please listen to this. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I'm going to punish Amalek, the Amalekites, for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came out of Egypt. Now, look at me real quick. The children of Israel were slaves for 400 years. They were weak. They were feeble. They were malnourished. They were tired. Moses is leading them out, split the Red Sea. They get through the Red Sea. They're going to the Promised Land. And Amalekite came out. The Amalekites come out and ambush them. And the Bible says it made many of the mothers childrenless. King Agag, he was ruthless. They ambushed them and killed children. They killed moms, mothers. You can read this story. That's the battle when they held up Moses' arms. It was that. Well, God said, I never forgot that. He said, now it's time to bring justice. Can I tell you that the Lord, if we will wait upon the Lord, he's going to handle all of them. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Amen. And now it's time for God to bring justice to the Amalekites. And he says to Saul, Saul, I'm going to use you to do it. If I had time, I'd give you the spiritual significance, because the Amalekites represent the flesh and pride, and this is the very thing that Saul was battling within himself. Isn't it something like God to call the man who's got these personal struggles himself to go and try to fight against the enemy? It would have been a win-win for Israel. Look at verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag, that's the ruthless king, and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and underline this, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. Unwilling, just nope. But everything despised and worthless in their eyes, they utterly destroyed. So they said, I know God wants me to do this, but I'm going to do it my way. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I've set up Saul as king. He knew this was going to happen, but whenever God talks like this, he is showing empathy, and so that a human being like us can empathize with what he's saying. And he's trying to get Samuel to see God's heart. He says, I greatly regret that I've set up Saul, for he has turned back from following me. Listen, don't turn back from following the Lord. Don't let this be a year. You know, I read this, 33% of Christians that start in the Lord last year fell away, or some kind of church statistics I was reading. And you know what? The thing is none of those people planned on it. I mean, I've had teachers, preachers, pastors, mentors of mine that are not even serving the Lord now. And some of you have had that experience too. But you know what? As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm not going back. Come on, they need to tell the other one that's looking all grouchy today, even after that awesome worship, that I'm not going back today. Put it in the chat, I'm not going back this year, but I'm going ahead. I'm going forward. I'm pressing forward. I'm pressing forward. He turned back from following me, and he has not performed my commandments, and it grieved Samuel. And he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, he's supposed to meet Saul for coffee at Leo's. But Saul didn't show up. It was told Samuel. Instead, watch this, Saul went to Carmel. He went to Ypsilanti, and he set up a monument for himself. He set up a statue for himself, and he had gone around, passed by, and gone down. He had a parade. Instead of meeting his accountability partner for coffee, he's down having a parade and made a monument of himself of how he defeated the Amalekites. You see the self-deception in this man's heart. So Samuel had to come to Saul. I know you're standing, but I'm preaching. Samuel had to then go look for Saul. And then look how Saul comes out. He sees Samuel. Blessed are you, O Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Samuel said, then how come I hear the sheep? I'm starting a new year, Pastor Eddie. I done got rid of some stuff. Then how come we got this still going on in your life? What's this? Samuel says, what, I hear the sheep. And who's this guy? King Agag? Are you serious? But watch Saul. Verse 15. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. The people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. You see what he's doing? He's blaming the people for his mistake, but he's trying to take credit for the good things they've done. Does anybody know somebody like that? Just look right at me today. He's blaming the people for his mistakes, but he's trying to take credit for all the good that they did. Samuel said, be quiet. And I want to tell you what the Lord told me last night, because I've been up praying for your little sorry butt all night. And you keep making excuses and making excuses. And the Lord, this is what the Lord told me to tell you. I've done anointed you. The anointing oil hasn't even dried off your head. And you already acting a fool. Went through a week of fasting, been reading your Bible. Be quiet, I'm going to tell you what the Lord, and listen to Saul, speak on like he really wants to hear. Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? God always goes to the heart. And the Lord sent you on one mission. You had one job, to utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, to fight against them until they were consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? Samuel said, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Still self-deceived and gone on the mission which the Lord has sent me. And he brought back King Agag. I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but it was the people. Look, here he goes again. That took the plunder, the sheep, and the best of the things. Then he says this, which should have been utterly destroyed. Ah, you do admit it. To sacrifice to the Lord. Now lean in our last scripture, and this is so important. This is a spiritual principle for all time. The Lord said, has the Lord as great as a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. You can give $1 million, but if you're not living an obedient lifestyle, I have no delight in that. It's not about the much money you give. It's not about how many mission trips you go on. It doesn't matter all the. It's matters about the heart of obedience. We're talking about building spiritual success today. It's a heart of obedience that God is looking for, Saul. For rebellion is as, and if you got a King James, the word as, as is italicized because it's not the original language. The interpreters put it there so we can understand it a little bit better. In Hebrew, this scripture reads just like this. For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion that we all have in our flesh, it's the same as witchcraft. I ain't conjuring up no devils. I ain't doing any of that. I'm not doing no crystals or none of that like that. No, but we're living a rebellious life. It's the same to God as witchcraft. And stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Idolatry, who's the idol? We are. Because we're doing it our way instead of what God says. Because you've rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Help us, Lord, today to receive your word of correction, but also encouragement today. You left this in the Bible for us to read and study and apply, not just read it and be entertained and be amazed, but to apply it to our life today as we build on these truths. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You may be seated for a few minutes while I get this out, and then we're going to worship again. Thank you, Sarah. Amen. You could go ahead and stop now. I was going to have you play all the way through the message, but I know her hands are probably so tired. I thank God for this worship team, and they're just their heart to lead us into worship in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Yeah, give them some love and appreciation. Whether it be Nancy, Pastor Steve, you know, that he just does such a great job in mentoring and leading our worship. We're not here, you know, to entertain. We're here to let you encounter the presence of the Lord, and that we take that seriously. So humility and obedience is what we learn from this today. And if I could recap, if I could just tell you about these are just simple fundamentals of the faith. You know, fundamentals are things that we... You got to get down and build on those fundamentals, no matter what you're doing in life. If you're in sports, okay, I use sports a lot because we can relate to it a lot. And so sports, for instance, like since football is over, let's talk about basketball. Listen, you can have $300 J's on and wear Michael Jordan's number. But if you don't have the fundamentals of that ball, releasing it and following it through, you're going to get air ball every time, all right? If you're a golfer, I don't care if you're Tiger Woods or whatever, and you start to miss your swing, you go get a swing coach. You know what he's going to say to you? Let me see your fundamentals. Let me see how you hold the club. Same way spiritually. I'm not going to go on to some deeper things that we try to get this from this and this and this. Hopefully you signed up for a life group because those are opportunities to go deeper into other things. But I'm telling you, these fundamentals of consistency, accountability, humility, and obedience. If we would just write those four down, if we would just build on those four, I'm telling you, the rest of your Christian life is just going to be filled with favor and blessing and open doors, and you're going to get it. It's that simple. Everybody in Scripture who succeeded in the things of God, whether it be Gideon or King David, he's the big one. You see these in his life. I was looking through Scripture and just looking at him. He had all four. Consistency. He was very consistent. He was not just a person that prayed. He was a man of prayer. David was a man of prayer. Listen, let's become people of prayer this year. So that prayer is automatic. Saul was not that way. But David was consistently, he prayed, he was in his word. You know, kings were supposed to, according to Deuteronomy, kings were supposed to write their own copy, a personal copy of the law, and keep it beside them. That's in Deuteronomy when God said, when you do get kings, this is what I want you to do. You are to write your own copy of the law. You are not to multiply horses or multiply wives. Well, they had multiple wives in the Bible. Show me a scripture where God said not to do it. Deuteronomy. Do not multiply wives. Fast forward, Solomon broke every one of those, and that's exactly why he lost the kingdom. But it never started out that way. So back to the word of God. Saul did not have a copy of the word. David did. In Psalm 119, the longest chapter in all of the Bible, he makes a reference to loving God's law 38 times. He was consistent. Let this be a year that we're consistent with prayer. We're consistent. You know, it doesn't have to be a 40-minute prayer. Just consistently go to God like an ongoing text thread. Amen. He was always seeking God. David always sought the Lord. He was consistent with the house of God. You know, I think of Brother Don Swenson, who's with the Lord now. But his favorite scripture was when David said, I would rather be a doorkeeper of the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. That was his favorite scripture. In other words, he was our head usher forever, and he was a great man. He loved to just lock up. He loved to just be here. That's the same attitude that King David had. King David. He said, I don't need the throne. I'm happy just being a doorkeeper. And whenever I mentioned it, Brother Don would say, oh, you said my verse again today. Vale, I know that'll bless you. He was so faithful to the Lord. He's there with the Lord now. But David was consistent with that. He was accountable. David was accountable. He had the Holy Spirit that had him accountable. We talked about that last week. He also worked. He had layers of accountability. He worked with the priest always. Saul didn't. He did one time. And let me make a correction. Last week I said he built no altar. Saul actually built one altar. And it was after his second battle. He should have built that altar right when he had an encounter with the Lord. David built multiple altars. And Saul only built one. He wasn't into the spiritual thing, you know, whatever. He was into his own thing. But David did it. David had Jonathan as his accountability partner. He had layers and layers of accountability. And in humility, let's talk about humility for a few minutes. David, oh, he had humility. How do you keep humility? Because Saul had it. How do you keep it? This is it. David never forgot where he came from. He never forgot where God found him. I love this scripture in 2 Samuel about David. This is at the peak of his career. It says, then King David went in and he sat before the Lord and he said, who am I, O Lord? And what is my family that you have brought me this far? Man, isn't that beautiful? I love that it says he went in and he sat with the Lord. Have you ever just went in and sat down with the Lord? Like I was telling us earlier, instead of rushing, just sit in the presence of the Lord and think about all the goodness that God has done. We're always quick to say, this is what I need, God. This is what I need, Lord. No, no, David went in and he sat before the Lord and he began to contemplate and think about all the victories that God did. You know, that's how David overcame the giant, by remembering and reflecting on the goodness of the Lord. When that giant Goliath came out to him, what did David say? David got his sling and ran toward him with a slingshot. And what did he say? He said, just like God was with me with the lion and the bear. Just like he was with me when I defeated the lion and the bear. What's he doing? He's remembering past victories, which will give him momentum to go forward. I remember how God was faithful when I fought the lion. I remember how God is faithful when I fought the bear. And just like those animals, he's going to let me take you down, this uncircumcised Philistine. which has another teaching for another time. But humility, get this, it's the story that we tell ourselves. It's not a humble look. It's not clothes that you wear. Oh, I'm humble because I use an emoji. Or I say I'm humble. No, that may have something to do with it, but really not. Humility, if I would sum it up like this, it's the story you tell yourself. It's the story we tell ourselves. I say this to young guys all the time, mentoring them and talking to them. I said, it's the story that you tell yourself. Do you say, oh, I deserve that, or I'm just as good as this person. I'm just like that. That's pride. We should be like David. And David, even at the height of his career, he didn't say, man, I'm better than Saul. He never said that one time. Even though they said to Saul, to David, while Saul was king, you were really the ones winning the battle. You'll never hear David say, thank you. About time someone recognized me. Instead, he says, Lord, who am I and who is my family that you would take me from the streets of Ecorus? That's what I do. I drive back frequently. I haven't been in a while. It's about time for us to go. We love to go back to the old neighborhood. And I go through those alleys and I walk those streets and I pull my car over. Sometimes I do it with some friends and this is where we used to be, where God found me. This is where I was addicted to drugs and alcohol. This is where I was arrested. This is where I was running from the police. This is where I almost got shot. This is where my friend got shot. This is where 8 of my friends are not here today. Not people in the neighborhood. These were our brothers and sisters, right? Got one sitting on the second row serving Jesus. I love seeing you in the house of God, both of you. Those hands used to be at the ICP concert. What? Insane Clown Posse. Now they're up, lifting Jesus' name up in the house of God. Those hands used to be around them 40s. I'm just being real with you today. But now they're around the Word. Now he's leading his family to the things of God. Look at that, see? And I could go on and on and on. Many of you have done the same thing. That's what David is saying. Lord, don't let me ever forget where you brought me. Don't ever let me forget, God, where you brought me. I remember that. Saul had that. He did have it, but he didn't build on that. You can start humble and lose it. Right here is the scripture. We read it. 1 Samuel 15:17. God says through Samuel, when you were little in your own eyes. See, it's that story you tell yourself. When you were little in your own eyes. Please get this today, because I don't got time to talk about humility all day, but this is bombshell right here. It's the story we tell ourselves, and you repeatedly got to recorrect that kind of thinking, because we live in a very self-entitled culture. It's all about us. Yeah, you work hard. Yeah, you deserve a break. I get it. But none of us deserve anything once you realize how good God is. When you realize how, because then you realize how good God is, watch this, you realize how bad you are. Where's the scripture for that? All over the place. Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up and the doorpost was shaken. You think our music is loud? It was so loud in Isaiah 6 that the doorpost was shaken when Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord. And what did he say? He said, I am a man of unclean lips. I don't even deserve to be in your presence, God. Why? He only said that because he got a revelation of how good God is. There's another king, I'll just give you this, 2 Chronicles, because this happens to a lot of people who remember when God, you know, they were humble in the beginning. But here's one king that I like the way the scripture words it. This is the Berean style Bible. He says, but when Uzziah grew powerful, his heart was lifted up to destruction and he was unfaithful to the Lord. I was reading it the other day. I said, God, what is it? Heart is lifted up. You always say that about pride. And the Lord just gave me this simple thing. He said, because when our eyes are lifted on him, our heart is bowed low. But when our eyes come down off of God, our heart is lifted up. As long as our eyes are lifted up on him, somebody better get this today. As long as your eyes are lifted up and you're focused in on him, as Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. He was high. Why? Because he's superior. He's sovereign. He's good. He's above. When I see him up there, I'm reminded I'm down here. In other words, when I realize he is God, I realize I am not. But when our eyes begin to come down, I got that raise, I got that new house, I got that girlfriend, I got my healing, I got my car. I just sit home this week. I sit home next week, and they end up disappearing. It's like Saul did. Saul went and built a statue. He won a couple battles. God says, you remember when you were little in your own eyes? Do you remember when you used to get up in the morning and read your word? You couldn't wait to read that word. Do you remember walking in these doors just happy to be in this building? Do you remember you had to pull your car over sometimes because your eyes filled with tears because of how good God was, and you got to pull that car over and just give him praise? You remember those times when you would worship him before the worship even started? You came in here with a praise of worship, an attitude of worship. You remember those times when you said, I was a mess, but God brought a miracle out of my mess? You remember when you got baptized? You remember when you got saved? You remember when God found you? You remember you said yes to Jesus? You remember when he set you free? You remember when he gave you a revelation? You remember, I ain't getting no help in this Pentecostal church. Come on, give him some praise today. If you remember where he brought you, if you remember what you used to be, if you remember how broken you were. Yes. When you were little in your own eyes, Saul, you were doing it. I was using you, and we were a team. What happened? What happened? It happens. It creeps in. And you know what pride does? I was looking at this scripture, and I said, Lord, I want to see a little closer at this. Humility, you know this, it draws us close to God. Humility attracts God. Pride creates a barrier between us and God. You know the scripture, it's James 4, 5, 6, I think I got it. It says on the screen, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That's the scripture. But let's go a little deeper with it. He says God gives grace to the humble. That's why God's grace was on Saul, because he remembered where he come from. Saul started out humble. He did not want to be king. He was looking for some donkeys, and he come across the man of God, and he anointed him. On Inauguration Day, we skipped over those chapters, but on Inauguration Day. Now, Israel was about the size of Vermont at this time. They were pretty big. He had hundreds of thousands in his military. So Israel, when we read the Bible, wasn't this little group of people. They were huge. This was a big deal. He had a huge Inauguration Day for King Saul. And on that day, Saul was hiding in the equipment room. He did not want it. He was not seeking the throne. He was not wanting the glory. He said, I'm just going to stay down here. So there's that humility that he had. He wasn't pursuing it. But over time, he began to get puffed up. He began to get some victories. He began to get some accolades, some achievements. Now he's building a statue. And here's the big thing, because he didn't build altars. He built statues. Be careful whose kingdom you're building. The gifts and talents and abilities that God gives us are not to build our monuments, but to build his kingdom. You can do this in the secular world. You can do it as a doctor. I did it as a delivery guy for 17 years. I delivered Intamin's donuts and cakes and Sara Lee breads, but I also was a carrier of the bread of life. Come on, somebody. I love to say it like that, the bread of life. Actually, another preacher told me that when I was on time. I won people to the Lord in Kroger's. I won managers to the Lord. I won independent store owners to the Lord. I prayed all, I mean, I just did it all the time. I wasn't always preaching. I was just being myself. How many know that God, his glory and favor is on you? It attracts people to you. Tell them we'll call them back. Amen. Humility, but listen, I want you to see this. Please don't forget this. Pride, and this is for some of us today, pride always keeps you on the outskirts of what God is doing. Pride always keeps, some of you want to worship, but you're not, and you can't. You want to, but you can't. Why? I'm just going to be nice to you and say, it's pride. It took me a while for me to lift my hands in church, by the way. I could not even wear a Christian t-shirt in public. I would get embarrassed. I was in my 20s, young guy, had long hair, just picture it. I thought I was Easy E because I had the curls.
Straight out of Compton.
I know complexion is a little different than Easy's, but that's my context of where I grew up. You just liked him. Had the Lokes, then we LaDon. Amen. He was Dre. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know why I'm picking on him today. He's got his shirt on, man. Preach, Eddie. Okay, I'm going. Listen, pride, this is so good. I never really caught this till a while back. Pride keeps you on the outskirts. Notice how Saul talked about God when he came to Samuel and he said, I did everything you told me to do, which he was lying. Watch how he addresses God. I want you to see this. It's on the screen. He says it four times. I got three of them here. And Saul said, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to your God. Look at verse 21. They wanted the sacrifice to your God. Look at verse 30. Yet honor me. After Samuel says the kingdom is taken from you this day, he starts to turn around and walk away from Saul. Saul grabs his garment and rips a piece of his garment. And Samuel said, no, you didn't. Samuel said, just as you tore the garment from me, God has torn the kingdom from you. Remind me to tell you how that goes in with obedience in a few minutes. But then he says it again, please go before. He says, okay, listen to, look at the pride. Go ahead, I know you took the kingdom from me, but at least walk with me in front of the elders now. Make it look good. See the pride? And we want to sacrifice to, come on, say it with me, your God. Why wasn't it his God? Why is, Pastor Eddie wants us to worship his God. Young people, it's your God, not mom and dad's God, right? Please get that, because I didn't. You got to get that. You're in college here. You guys are getting older. Look at these guys over here. Zechariah all in college, and Isaiah. He goes to state. We're still praying for him. Lydia goes to U of M. That's what I'm talking about. She got Nikes on. She's getting there. She'll get Adidas. That anointing is... You got to make God your God. When I was working for Intamin's, when I first got hired in, I remember I had to learn the computers first. So I was in the office. I'll never forget this. This was a long time ago. And the boss came in and says, you got to get familiar with our product. Are you familiar with Intamin's? And I was like, no, I've had some Hostess. He said, never say that again. I said, I heard y'all having a cheesecake, a cheese crumb. Because I'm a pie man. Them little mini pies. And I'm rattling him off. He walks away right in the middle of me talking to him. So I'm like, well, I must have said something wrong. But he comes back and he lays a stack down on my desk. And he goes, two things. One, don't ever mention Hostess again in this building. He was joking. He said, number two, learn to call this our product, not my product. I didn't even catch it. And you know what? I love the same thing when people get saved. They start coming to church and they're like, man, y'all have good coffee in the cafe. And then y'all start coming for a while. You start growing and this becomes a part of your church. And this is why I want everybody to, if this is your first Sunday, welcome to River of Life. If you believe God has you here, come on, this is your church. Let's start saying it's our coffee. It's our grounds. It's our river kids. Lindsay and Felicia, y'all do a great job with our kids. How would y'all like to be up there with 60, 70 kids on Sunday? Some of y'all are. That's why you're in here. Amen. You see what I'm saying? There's a shift that happens in your vocabulary because it's a shift that happens in your perspective when the pride goes down and the humility comes up. He's not your God. He's my God. Oh, I ain't preaching better than that today. He's my God. He saved me. He forgave me. I'm worshiping him because he's my God. Come on, somebody give him praise today if you believe that today, if he's your God. Saul never came in. He's on the outskirts. Let this be a year that we come off the outskirts and we go in. And it starts with saying that our kids are our God. What is the Lord saying? What's Vision Sunday? What does God want to say to our church? Come on. Aren't we a part of a body? We're part of a body, not just locally, but globally. And we're going to finish up with obedience. Humility and obedience. He says, to obey is better than sacrifice. That means it's you know, yeah, if God's telling you to give, then you give. But it's not the amount of give. If, you know, obedience attracts the favor and the goodness of God. It gets God's attention. Obedience gets God's attention. And God said, I would rather you obey me than try to keep this king and these animals a sacrifice. I didn't want that. I wanted you to obey me. Let me just say this. One decision, hear me, one decision to obey God will produce growth in you like nothing else. Hear me today. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And sometimes they are the same thing. Let me say that again. Sometimes they are the same thing. It may be uncomfortable to obey the Lord. It may be challenging. It may be alone. You may feel alone because it was alone for me to serve God and begin to follow him and to obey him and to get rid of some things in my life. That was lonely ground. I got it. Oh, you think you're holier than us. Guys at work I used to hang with every Friday and everything else. I mean, we didn't have much in common no more, so we didn't hang out, and I didn't want to be around that stuff and where I was trying to build off what God was doing, and so I got the backlash, and sometimes we don't like that. Well, let me tell you something. Obedience is the best gift you can give to God, and it's the best gift you can give to your family. Dads, it's the best gift that you can give to your kids is obedience of God. You know why? Because our acts of obedience will outlast us. Our acts of obedience will outlast us. That's why David was known for the rest of the Bible as being a man after God's own heart. Look at the scripture in Acts 13. He says, and I have found David, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Remember, Saul was unwilling. He said, I found David who will do all of my will. His acts of obedience stands out in Scripture. Every king after that would always say, if a king did right, he would say, and King Hezekiah walked in the ways of the Lord and followed after his father David. You notice that? You read that in all. Whenever a king obeyed God, they said he followed the ways of David. David's been dead. But why did he say it? Our obedient actions will outlive us. It will set the trajectory of your kids. Get this today. It will set, that's why you come to church. That's why we worship. That's why we listen to things that are godly and edifying in the house. That's why our kids need to see us worship, moms and dads. That's why they need to see us give and go on missions trips. And where you going to church? My whole neighborhood has seen me going. I've won my neighbors to the Lord simply by them observing. I didn't even know they were observing, but they watch when you go to church. I notice. I lived in my house for a long time now, and I've had neighbors come over there and say, hey, I notice you leave every Sunday, you dress up, you go to church? I'd be like, yeah. Well, you know what? And start having a spiritual conversation just by simply doing things like that. Well, do you know what? I'm going to start closing with this. Start closing. Just as obedience has consequences, so does disobedience. And our kids don't listen to what we say, they listen to what we do, and God is what gets that. Listen, truth, write this down, it's not in my notes, I just thought of it, thank you, Holy Spirit. Truth without obedience is hypocrisy. Why do you need to know that? Because Saul was obedient, but he did partial obedience. Get this. Saul was known for partial obedience. He did some of what God told him to do. He thought it was okay. And many times, you know, this is a growing message. This part here is going to challenge us because some of you's already, man, I've done turned over a new leaf. I've done started going to church. What else is God wanting with this guy wanting me to do? This guy is not wanting, you're going back to your God again kind of mindset. What is your God telling you that he wants you to do? See, Saul went and said, I'm going to do what God told him. He knew what God told him to do, but when he got there, he had a better idea. And he thought because he did some of the things that God was going to give him a full blessing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Back to when he ripped Saul's garment. Why? Because partial obedience only gives partial blessing. Instead of his kingdom, all he had was Samuel's garment, because partial obedience only gives partial blessing. That's all he had, was a piece of Samuel's garment instead of the kingdom. But here's the big lesson about partial obedience. I think I got it on the screen. Actually, partial obedience is still disobedience. Look what God said. He's turned his back from following me. What do you mean, God? Ain't you going to give him credit for 99%? Well, what would you do to your kids if you asked your kids to do something and they don't do it all? I mean, you know, hope we don't reward them for that. It's a lesson we need to teach them. Listen, I asked you to clean your room. You just made your bed. I need you to do all of this. I know, I'm meddling now. This is what we need. It's missing in our culture. We got to sit down and have a four-hour conversation as to why they didn't finish what you told them to do. Please don't do that. Train up your child in the way they should go. I told you to clean your room. I told you to make this bed. You ain't getting up out of my room until you make this bed and clean this room. Hallelujah. I'm going to close with this right here, this story. This is devastating, and this illustrates the point beautifully. God told Saul to go and wipe out the Amalekites. He went down, he did partial obedience. And when you do partial obedience, this is what happens. Fast forward to the end of Saul's life. He's on the side of the mountain, he's fighting the Philistines, and they're winning because partial obedience doesn't protect us. Partial obedience is not obedience to God at all. It opens up the door for the enemy. You'll even read a place where it says the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord came on him. And some people get hung up on that. What does it mean, an evil spirit from the Lord? It doesn't mean an evil spirit came from God's presence. It simply means, watch this, when God lifts his hand of protection because of our disobedience, we are then left vulnerable to all kinds of evil spirits, negative thoughts, all that evil stuff. Wow. That's exactly what happens. You can find it in Joshua. If I had time, I'd take you back to Joshua when he lost the battle to Ai. And Joshua gets on his face and he says, God, why couldn't we defeat Ai? They're a little military. And God told them this, why are you on your face praying to me? Get up off of your face, for you got sin in your camp and you cannot stand against the enemy while you're living in disobedience. Back to Saul. Saul did it his own way. He's running from the Philistines. They begin to attack him. He's injured. He runs to the side of the mountain. He's dying, and he said, I don't want a Philistine to kill me, lest it go down in history that the Philistine took me out. So he said to his armor bearer, run me through. And the armor bearer said, I am not touching God's anointed. So he gets his sword, and he falls on his own sword. Fast forward into the opening of 2 Samuel. David now is on the throne. A couple of months later, there's this guy that comes knocking on David's door in the palace and said, I got something that the king needs to see. And the word got to King David and said, hey, David, there's a guy out here, and I think you need to have him come in, and you need to talk to him. And David said, why? What has he got? He says, he's got Saul's crown. David said, bring him in. This guy comes walking in all timid, and he gets up before David, and he's got Saul's crown in his hand. David said, what do you got? He said, well, my Lord, I saw Saul on the side of the mountain, and he was getting ready to die. So I took a sword and I took him out, lest the Philistines would take him. And I didn't want that to go down in his history. And I got his crown. And David said, why weren't you afraid to strike the Lord's anointed? Here's the kicker. He said, who are you? He said, I am an Amalekite. The partial obedience, the things we don't do what God tells us, that we keep them hanging around, will be the very things that will steal your crown. If he don't get you, whatever we don't let God transform, we will transfer to that next generation. That Amalekite would not have had Saul's crown if Saul would have took him out in the first place. What I'm trying to tell you, that partial obedience leaves the enemy around in your life, and that's why he's able to take us down. Lord Jesus, let's close with prayer right now. I just sense the Spirit of the Lord in His place today with that. What Amalekites, let me ask you this while your heads are bowed. What Amalekites have you allowed to stick around in 2025? You know, God has been dealing with you for a long time to get rid of that Amalekite in your life. And you've looked at it the way Saul did. You thought it wasn't that bad. You had a better idea. Let me tell you something. Obedience is for our protection, church. Obedience is for our blessing. And that's what God was trying to get across to Saul, but Saul never got that. Let me ask you, though, today, what are you going to do with this story? What are you going to do with this? Where are the Amalekites hanging around in your life? Where do you go? Is that still that negative attitude, that hang up that you got, you keep running to? It could be something, a substance, a website. It could be anything, an attitude. Come on, let the Holy Spirit show you. We need to put it on the altar today. Well, I think I can handle it. Nope, that's pride, brother. You can't. I can't, you can't. Strongest man in the world, his name was Samson. He couldn't either. But David did. David took the giant down and his whole family. Why? Because he was a man after God's own heart. He never forgot where he came from. And he wiped out all the Amalekites. He wasn't perfect. Even when he failed, he got right back up, though. He got right back up, though, and he got back into the game. Let me tell you today, this is the time for us to get rid of the Amalekites in our life. Humble ourselves before the Lord and quit looking at it as your God and that church. No, this is my God. These are my promises that He has said to me, and I'm going to stand on them for my family. In Jesus' name. So I'm going to open up these altars right now, and I'm just going to ask you to come. You want to come and pray, you can come and pray. Find you a place where you need to seek the Lord. And I just wonder if there's anybody here who needs to get rid of some Amalekites. You can come. I'm going to pray, but I want these altars to just, come on, let them fill up. You need to come and get out of your seat and come up before the Lord. Where is this message at? What do you need to build on? Maybe the word is consistency from last week. Maybe it's accountability. I don't know, but or maybe it's today it's humility or obedience. Come on, respond to this word today. Lord, we just cry out to you today. Give us a new heart like you did Saul. And Lord, we want to build on it today. What are you telling us to do? What act of obedience, Lord, do we need to do? We're doing only some of the stuff, but God, you're calling us to full obedience. And I know it's tough, it's scary, it's lonely, and it's challenging, but God, by your grace, I'm going to do it today. In Jesus' name. We got a song. Go ahead and sing a song. Let's just sit here. Meditate on this. Close out with this. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Of us, can we stand? If you need individual prayer, I'm going to ask you to come up. We have altar workers. Altar workers can pray with you. The rest of us, can we just worship as we close out the service? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
lay those Amalekites down. We lay them down. Come on, the enemy ain't taking my crown. Come on, the enemy ain't taking my crown. No. Oh, I'm going to worship him today. Come on, we're going to worship him today. We're going to live this out. We're going to build on this. Jesus. We're going to build on this, oh Lord.
Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people, and you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.